John Tamed is with us today, and we're talking Te Pāti Māori politics. And thanks for joining us, John. Good to have you back in NZ. Tēnā koe e hoa.
Kia ora,
thanks. Has the tax kaupapa that was announced last week, bold tax reform from Te Pāti Māori, did it get the traction that you think the kaupapa deserved, and the sort of discussion around tables that you were hoping for, John?
Well, I think we've got to put it in perspective. We were arguing the same thing in 2020. No one gave us a chance of getting back into Parliament. And so when people write you off, that's a really good place to start to fight from. And so when Rawiri took Wairiki and we had enough party votes to get Deb in, that changed the whole landscape in Wellington from the get-go, from the time in which people took their oaths of allegiance and tested whether we were alleging rights to be under the crown, or whether we should swear an oath to our people of this whenua rather than in England. So you know, from the get-go, the Māori Party's made a significant impression and contribution over the last 3 years. The two MPs have never put a foot wrong. I think it's been a sensational outing. Now, the problem with that is the better you go, the more Pākehā try and ignore you. Same for Manukau Māori Authority, same for Papakura Marae, Manurewa Marae. When they're doing extraordinarily well, and we do, Waipareira does well, the mainstream organisations that get most of the resources pretend you don't exist. And that's one of the problems the Te Pāti Māori has in terms of its policy. For instance, military neutrality, making us the Switzerland of the South Pacific. No one wants to hear that, because for some unknown reason they all want to be part of a warmongering group where they're not going to put their money to it directly, and they're not going to put their lives on the line either, but they'll send others to it, see? So I had to give you this context. The context is that we struggle for oxygen. And if you have a look at ZB and New Zealand Herald, it's just, I don't know what that was, mate.
No, you're still with us, John? You're still with us?
Yeah. No, well, the problem we have is that when you've got sort of white media like New Zealand Herald and ZB that just consistently racially attack your, and not just in overt terms, but license others to. So we have a difficulty in getting our policy up. And on the tax policy, tax is instrumental in changing the fabric of society. It directs where investments should go. It increases dollar values as to what you can spend money on: health, welfare, education, justice, and housing. And if you continue to thrash the working class, that's people on PAYE, wages and salary earners, and they're being thrashed either on GST, on the ACC levies, 76 cents a litre per petrol pumped into their cars, they've got no escape mechanism. And when you've got 5% of this nation that can liquidate assets without paying tax, that's just unfair. Everyone should pay the same rate on any value that they earn, because all labourers have got is their labour, and they're paying top dollar up to 33 cents in the dollar over 60K. And then all of a sudden, because they're getting hammered, others escape it because they set the rules. Now, these rules are set under Rogernomics. So what I like to think about is that we're resetting under Māori-nomics. And Māori-nomics is bringing justice and fairness and light to a discussion where the rich folk, and you see how much money they're pumping into the National Act now, are just beside themselves thinking that the Māori Party could get some carry in the setup of a new government. And they just can't stand it. And so everywhere they go, they hose us down. To think that the people that run the New Zealand Herald and other places are not National Party supporters, you've got to think again. And so they pervert the view that they express on the so-called balanced media. And the beauty about our station is at least we can talk our truth. You with me? We don't have to parody the Pākehā. We can talk our truth and say, no, here's another line.
Why is that's it? Healthy, isn't it, John? Yeah. I mean, we had Nicola Willis on earlier, and we have an obligation to provide different perspectives, because ultimately it's those at home who make the call. And what we're saying is that one vote does count. Elections can be so tight that your vote can actually determine who does get the reins of power. Look, obviously, under the circumstances, we know that this area, and you know full well, it's a cutthroat space for Wahine Māori. What responsibility do you think, as the party president for Te Pāti Māori, have to prepare and support Wahine if they do make it into Parliament?
Oh, hey, I don't think we should look at it like that. This is the way I see it. It doesn't matter whether you're a Māori tāne or a Māori wahine, the microscope is on you. And like your dad would have said to you, and my mum said to me, because they were both parties, is that, you know, because you've got brown blood in you, you have to perform better, son. Right? This is the way we were brought up. Because my people will ask a lot more of you. That's a fact. And so the day that I start in a race with 5 kg or 10 kg or 50 kg on my back more than the bloke next to me, I'm not getting the same start. And that's one of the problems with the type of weight that is placed on us. You see, Kiri Tapu Allen, there's an infringement notice offered. It is not a criminal offence to drive when you've had a few drinks. It's a criminal offence if you drive above a certain millilitre of alcohol per blood, and she did not cross that line. So she got an infringement notice saying, hey, look, we've noticed that there's some alcohol in your breath. That means no one can go out and have a glass of wine, right? Even if they're a very, very social drinker and very Spartan with it. So straight away, victimised. The next thing they brought out and said, she did a runner. She's caught 500 metres from the scene. You with me? Like, if I was going to do a runner, I'd be 1,500 metres from the scene. So everywhere part of the story goes on this Māori woman, they unbundle every last little issue or fact that can paint her in the darkest, ugliest, little horrible space. You know, they don't do that. They did not do that to Muller, right, when he caved in, and God bless him and his family. But the point is that we don't get the same bounce of the ball or the same referee. Okay, referees in terms of the way in which we are deeply dissected, it just doesn't work the same way. It's a bit like suppression orders, right? Suppression orders are granted to rich white people. Brown people go to court, they don't get suppression orders. Why is that? Because there's not one rule for all. And so we're getting, you and I know it, you and I have suffered it, and it's only when you walk in our shoes that you understand it. Okay. And then what happens on the other side of the fence is, oh, no, you might be making up excuses. No, you have a look, and you look in the mirror properly, you're going to have a proper shower today and try and get clean yourself in terms of the way you look at us. And I think Kitty's issues are nothing new, not unsurprising, but we're becoming more aware of the way in which we're treated. And the more that we have these discussions on Radio Wātea and elsewhere amongst ourselves, we don't need to have a narrative painted of us from non-Māori. You know, even this is the only channel that gives people a balanced view. So you have Nicola Willis on, she'll give you her nod and wink. And then others can listen to it. But you don't cut her up after she gets off the radio. The day I or any other Māori get off the radio, they cut us to pieces on the editorial, and they don't give us a right of response. The New Zealand Herald will not give us Māori a right of response when they write anti-Māori stories. So at least you give balance. And that's why I want to say Wātea is above reproach. And you don't cut people up, you give it, and you allow the listener to make a decision after hearing the other side of the story. Not you telling them what to think about the other side of the story. And that's the difference in terms of the integrity of the show you run and the ones that Mike Hoskins runs and Heather DePlessy Allen, who should go back to South Africa, and all the rest of them. That's exactly, they cut you to pieces, and that's why we don't go anywhere near those channels.
Tēnā koe, John. there's a lot to talk about. We can't do it all in one day, but, you know, over the course of weeks and months, to help our people decide which way they want to lean. It looks as though Te Pāti Māori is travelling really well. I'll talk next time about how the votes or two ticks Māori might affect the outcome of the election. But it feels as though everyone's running their own race at the moment, and there's no pre-election collaborations that we, or formalised ones anyway, that we're aware of. Thanks for sharing some time with us. I see that Lizzo wanted to do the bizzo with your man.
Who's that, sorry?
Rawiri. Waititi. She singled him out and almost winked at him. Big Lizzo. She did. That's what we've got. We'll talk about that another time. Thanks, John. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, mate.
John Tummett is the experienced political brain